On show 450, an instant Model 3, a BYD update, and how many I-Paces a Jaguar selling? Well, those stories and many more coming up on today's podcast, show 450. How do we do that, eh? 450 shows. Wow. Good morning, good afternoon, or indeed good evening. In fact, wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily. My name is Martin Lee. It's your Easter weekend update edition, Easter Sunday here, and it's been sunny as well. I've had the sunblock on. That's unheard of in April here in the UK. Sunday the 21st of April. My name is Martin Lee. I've been through every EV story that I can find today and picked out the ones you need to know to save you time. Thank you to MyEV.com for helping make this show. They are building the world's first marketplace all about buying and selling used EVs. So if you are in the market for buying or selling an EV, it should be your first port of call, at least in the USA, MyEV.com. Hello to a new Patreon member of the family, new executive producer. It's either Sari or Sari. S-A-R-I. One of those will be correct, and one of those they'll think you've just mispronounced my name. So, Sari or Sari, Kanga Soja, thank you very much for being a new executive producer of this podcast. So, we'll start with the weirdest Tesla story that we've heard in ages. Elon Musk's war with short sellers. It's kind of weird anyway, people betting on companies' failure, but there we go. It just got a little bit weirder. The electric car maker claims that a Californian man who it says is part of an online group of short sellers that have been stalking its Fremont factory and even harassing its employees, including dangerously swerving their car towards a Model 3 that was on the freeway doing a test drive, also injured a Tesla security guard in what appears to be a hit and run on company property, says Bloomberg. Tesla has persuaded a state court judge on Friday to issue a restraining order. It requires the man to stay at least 100 yards away from its factory and employees. This man's name is out on the internet. I won't say it here, but you can go and find it online. I'll put a link to the Bloomberg article in the show notes. The whole story is just crazy bonkers. This is a man in his 30s. Still lives with his dad. By the sounds of it, him and his brother wage an online war against Tesla. His brother works for another car manufacturer. It's just weird. I'm not going to go into the details here, but here is a man with a Twitter handle, and it seems needs some help by the... I hope I'm not being too generous to the gentleman, but he just needs help. We look at his tweets and his threats against Elon and people who work at Tesla. I mean, you hate to say it, but when horrible events occur, I mean, really, you know, when bad things happen, and people look back and go, "Oh, the warning signs are on their social media and stuff," and it just looks, this is just a horrible situation where someone, in the name of short selling, which I gather is, you know, that is a legitimate, I guess I could say, but that is a thing that people do. They bet on companies failing. In the name of that, this person, it doesn't seem, I mean, they live with their dad in their dad's basement or something, and it's like they own a car on their, you know, the cars they've been pictured in don't belong to this person. So the whole story, this isn't kind of some sort of financial whiz aiming to make millions out of Tesla failing. This is a strange situation. And I don't know where these people on the internet come from or what they hope to achieve, but it's just weird. Thought I'd report it on it today. Not going to go into the details of it. Electric have the details. A million websites have the details. The name's out there. I won't go into it. I hope this person gets the help they need, and I hope nothing bad comes from this situation. Let's move on to better things. This is a Model 3 inventory list that's been put online. You can browse them. You can get immediate delivery. I wonder what immediate means in Tesla's world. Anyone that has watched things like the Rich Rebuilds channel, I won't go into that. Immediate has an interesting connotation for him anyway. let's not go into that. Instead of picking options, says Electric, and waiting a few weeks for delivery of a custom-configured new Tesla, how about you browse Tesla's inventory of Model 3s online, find the cars available, and immediate delivery, which could be a few days. says Electric Today. Until today, it was only available for S and X. There still aren't any used cars listed for Model 3, but Tesla's new inventory is available. And for anyone who browses online, cars are only appearing in some areas like California. I set my location to Beverly Hills plus 200 miles, and found plenty just now. You won't find a bargain, by the way, but you will find cars that have been built, and for one reason or another, maybe they were built for someone and they couldn't go through with finance, maybe they just did a run of a common configuration, who is to know why these cars are in inventory, but if you fancy one, you can get one. I can't get one. I can't even order a new Tesla Model 3 in the UK. Not that I've got my deposit in for it. However, now they say this summer, right-hand drive, you never know, at the Auto Shanghai show this year, plenty of cars were announced. Lots of press releases sent out. And if you haven't heard yesterday's podcast, by the way, a Saturday special with Rupert Mitchell. He's the chief strategy officer of WM Motor. They have indeed sold 10,000 EVs so far and have big plans. They have factories and they have things being made. He did point out many of these companies, by the way, are very good at making press releases. I said, yes, I can name a few more, actually, not just Chinese companies that are good at that. But BYD, another company that are certainly making plenty of vehicles, have unveiled the E-Seed GT. That's E-SWAD, E-Seed GT. It's a concept car, and the Song Pro, that's an SUV, alongside its all-new E-Series of models at the Shanghai show. Company also showcased its latest Dynasty series of vehicles, which were recently unveiled at the company's spring product launch in Beijing. A total of 23 new car models were shown off at the event held at Shanghai's Exhibition Center and demonstrating BYD's new areas of design. Fascinating, actually, that so many companies are making the headlines in China. But just as we heard yesterday on the podcast with Rupert, just make sure that they are indeed making them. A company that is making electric cars, well, they're designing them. They don't make them themselves. If I'm really being nitpicky, a third-party company makes them for them. I'm talking about the Jaguar I-Pace. And Jaguar I-Pace sales reported by the manufacturer increased in March to a near-record level of 2,044. Turns out to be 8.4% of total volume of their brand globally, according to InsideEVs.com. Checking out the scorecard, the Jaguar I-Pace doing over 2,000 models last month. In March, the output will continue to increase, they say, or at least stay around 2,000 a month. I'll put a link in the show notes. And finally, before we get onto question of the week this week, Zero Labs Automotive. Well, they're showing off their plan to build an electric version of the original Ford Bronco, more than just putting an electric motor under the hood and pushing them out the door. The project also gives the off-roader modern luxury, real wood interior panels, digital instruments. The company plans to build an initial run of 150 of them, says Motor1.com today. Reservations are open right now. Zero Labs Automotive Bronco, that classic, if you don't, I'm not aware, it's a classic car, the Bronco. The electrically restored car has 269 kilowatts of power. What's that? 360 horsepower. 70 kilowatt hour battery will let you do 190 miles or just over 306 k's of range. The motor runs through the manual transmission, actually a 5-speed manual transmission. It's an odd choice, says Motor1.com, considering most electric vehicles are single speed. Well, yes and no. I do see the benefits of that, actually. If you look at some of the restorations that have been done, there's a few videos online of classic cars, classic off-roaders, especially ones that need to go through the gears. They've kept the original gearbox, and all of that stays in situ, and they put the electric motor on it. It makes having gears and a manual shift actually a lot of sense. So, you know, it's pros and cons, I guess, but I can see why they have done that, rather than just thinking, well, you know, EVs have one reduction gear and a motor and a battery, and that's the path you must follow. It does kind of make sense. I'll put a link to Motor One in the show notes, though. Right, let's talk question of the week this week. It's an interesting one, a bit more niche, but it's an interesting one. After Tesla announced that the camera that faces the cabin in Tesla Model 3s, we all knew why it was there, but Elon confirmed on Twitter, yeah, it's there so that when your car is out being used in an autonomous ride hailing, ride sharing, other buzzwording future that you'll be able to see what people are doing inside your car. And so I was asking you, would you let your car be used for a virtual ride sharing network thingy? Alexander Frank says, yes, I would love my Model 3 to be making money for me whilst I'm not using it. It's actually most of the week while I'm working, Monday to Friday. I can't park at work, that's why I'm taking my electric scooter, or my Renault Twizy, or soon my Van Moof electric bike. I haven't heard of that, but I'm immediately going to Google what a Van Moof is. I'd only add it to the Tesla network after I felt comfortable watching Netflix while being driven by the car, though I love the cabin-facing camera. Gives me some ease. My day would then look like this. I'd unplug my Model 3 from my home charger. It would drive me to work. He says, while I listen to your podcasts. I suppose somebody has to. Once in the city at my work, there's nowhere to park. It would go off and then earn money all day, an hour or so before I'd want to leave work. I would push a button on my phone. My car would come back and be waiting for me outside. I like that. I like that version of the future. But let's hear from a few other comments from people who aren't so sure. Rajiv Narayan says, I may not be ready to use my primary EV as an automated taxi, as if something happened to it, I'd be without a car. If, however, when it came time to buy a new EV, I would be willing to get the old one out there as an automated taxi instead of simply trading it in. I imagine a future where a network of privately and company-owned EVs run by Uber, Lyft, or Tesla act as automated taxis, and the ride-sharing company pays you a fee to use your car. This would allow the owner to make extra income while reducing capital costs to the taxi company. John Fruith says, no, I will not hire my Tesla out. It's my dream car. I'm emotionally attached to it, and I can't see myself treating it as a utility vehicle to make money for me. Mark Richards says, I park in a garage, so it isn't practical to take my car, to make my car available in a car sharing network. I don't live in a city. In fact, I'm on the very edge of civilization, so I don't think there'd be much demand. Robin Edwards, who is in WA, Perth, in Western Australia. No, capital letters, no! I like to shout it. I'm receiving my Kona in 2.5 hours. I would feel edgy if my partner drives it. A complete stranger, never. I share pool vehicles at work and I see how they're treated, and that's a closed group. Carl Kramer says, I once drove for a ride-sharing service and people would do disrespectful things to my car while I was in it driving them, like leaving garbage or scratching the roof fabric. I can't imagine what jerks would do if no one was in the car. I would definitely use the service, but I'm not sacrificing my car to the horde. Neil says, Neil on YouTube. This was on the YouTube comments. I don't think I'd let my car be used, not because I'd worry about it, but because I'd worry about how I got charged. With a Model 3, I would use about 40% of the battery for my daily commute, with another 40% for saving battery life and cold weather allowance. That would leave 20% for the taxi service. I would want to see automatic charging stations like the Tesla Snake they showed off a few years ago before I would reconsider. And finally, Ashley Hill says, depending on the options, I'm considering it, though there's a few other things that make it easily worthwhile. Like, if it was part of the cooperative, say, there was a $2,000 deposit buy-in, and if someone did cause trouble with it, the fleet would be large enough that I would have access to another one while fixes got underway. Would also do if the remote operation instead of full self-driving was on the table for the same deal. I'd let someone remote drive it to another driver similar to a current car next door or a car sharing service, especially if the Tesla implemented an always-on, impossible-to-crash feature. So there's a few comments this week about letting your car be used by somebody else or not even in the driving seat, just as sitting in the back and earning you money whilst you were sleeping. All right, time to set a new question of the week. And thanks to MyEV.com, as always, they spotted in their comments section this week a funny line. So we're going lighthearted for this one. The last one was quite serious, but we'll lighten the mood with this one. What's the dumbest thing you've ever heard about EVs? And this can be anything. What's the dumbest thing you've ever heard about EVs. You can email me your answer, and I'll read out yours next Sunday. You can email me hello at evnewsdaily.com or check out the comments section of Facebook and YouTube. Time for the endy bit, then. Thank you very much to 216 patrons of the show that keep me going, by the way. Thank you very much to everybody on Patreon. Thank you to our executive producers, our partners of the show, like David Allen, OEM Audio of New Zealand, and evpower.co.nz, Sasha Pallenberg and Paul O'Connor, and my premium partners as well, people who believe in the podcast and in a way kind of the cause of raising awareness of clean transport. That would be Phil, and that's Phil Roberts at Electric Future, and Brad Crosby. Thank you very much, both of you. Brad signed up at the beginning of the year, I think it was, and has done a huge amount to help this podcast. I'll give all the exec producers a shout in a couple of days. If you would like to check out Patreon, patreon.com/evnewsdaily, but no pressure, I'll make the show anyway. I'd rather, if you could, you shared this podcast, and hopefully, you know, maybe more people would hear it. And, you know, it's growing all the time, but I'm just super greedy. I want more people to find out about EVs. You can leave a little review as well on iTunes if you want to. In the meantime, have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.